Give us grace that we may always most thankfully receive that his inestimable benefit, and also daily endeavor ourselves to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we see in the collect appointed for today the way that we pray the scriptures. So we can say that we are truly a Bible church and that we pray the scriptures. This collect weaves together the teaching of St. Peter from the epistle lesson and shows very well what we are doing, what we believe, and how we put it into practice. So in the first place, we are praying that God will give us grace to receive that which Christ won for us on the cross. For he did put away the sins of the world in his own body by his death upon the tree. And we've come through the Lenten season, Holy Week, and Easter to see how that great sacrifice once offered is the effective propitiation for the sins of the whole world. It is by his death upon the cross and the shedding of his blood that the perfect sacrifice has been made for the washing away of sins. And now we are praying that we would receive that, that we would receive the forgiveness of sins, and also that by his stripes he are healed. So Jesus has now begun on the first day of the new creation by his resurrection. He is now redeeming the entire human race. And we who believe on him and who are baptized into his body, the church, are now the recipients of that saving grace where we are now regenerate and in the new humanity that Christ is establishing. So we are already part of the new creation. This is something that we have received. And as we are now living in Christ and he is living in us, we are now sanctified by that grace and living out the fact of that redemption. What happens in the fact of that redemption is that we will find that the world hates us and that we will suffer. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, says St. John. And St. Peter writes the epistle lesson today to show, to comfort those who are suffering for the name of Christ. They are called to this. They are following a crucified Lord, and they too will suffer. If they take up their cross and follow him, there will be sufferings that they endure, and then the cross, first the cross, then the glory. You might see it as the logical consequence of the incarnation is the persecution that Christ will suffer. Light comes into the world, the darkness does not understand it, cannot overwhelm it, but rejects it. He comes unto his own receive him not. And that is the same will be true for the Christian. The world hates Christians because Christ lives in them. And their light is offensive to the darkness. So let us not be surprised. That's part of it. Now, St. Peter will say, okay, if you're buffeted for your own faults and you take it patiently, that is just the way it goes, really. I mean, if a kid does the wrong thing and gets a spanking, well, he suffered the consequence of his bad behavior. And that's just what was going to happen. There's a lot of suffering that we endure in this life that is the consequence of our own bad decisions. I can testify to that. I'm sure you can too. I know for a fact a lot of what people are suffering today are the consequences of their own bad decisions that they've made in rebellion against God's perfect will, which is love. And that's the consequence of their bad behavior, their bad decisions. Where they're coming up against reality, the reality of love, and they're suffering. Well, that is how it is. St. Peter will say that if a man is experiencing that, you know, correction for his own faults, that is the way it is. However, if a man is suffering or a woman is suffering for Christ's sake and for doing the right thing, well, that is commendable. Now this is praiseworthy. Now this is a different order of things. And this is where a person now, because they are a Christian, because they are professing the name of Christ, they suffer something for that. Maybe they experience the loss of income because they're not getting a promotion because they're a Christian. Maybe they've suffered the loss of friendships. Maybe they've lost the closeness of family because people reject them for their Christian faith. They are following Christ and there are repercussions that they're experiencing. These things are praiseworthy. And St. Peter knows that from his own experience, that sufferings will come for the one that follows Christ. In Ignatian spirituality, so Ignatius Loyola, counter-Reformation saint, 16th century, he writes about three kinds of humility. And it's helpful to think about this, description. The first kind of humility is when a Christian submits to the law of God, to his love, out of fear. So they'll be obedient because they're afraid of God's judgment. So that's not bad. They're still obedient, but they're obeying God because they're afraid of what would happen if they don't. Or they can see that there are ill consequences. So they're not going to steal that thing because they're afraid they might get caught and the punishment would come upon them. Their heart still wants to steal the thing, but they're not going to. They don't steal. So that's out of fear they obey God. The second kind of humility is when a person obeys God out of the love of God. Now they love Jesus, and so they're not going to steal that thing because they love Jesus more than their own selfish desire. And it won't glorify God. So they start doing those things that glorify God in their life. And in this way, the stiff neck of pride, they bend, and they bend the knee to Christ, and they begin to live a life that glorifies God, and that shows their humility. It's a life of self-sacrifice for Jesus in their fasting, in their almsgiving, in their doing those good works which God has called us to do, in the acts of corporal mercy, the feeding of those who are hungry, the giving water to those who are thirsty, the clothing of the naked. These are things that God has called us to do, the acts of spiritual mercy, of sharing the gospel, of forgiving wrongs, and so on. These things are, they do out of a love for God, out of a willing heart, and this is a humble life now, not seeking the things of the world. They're not looking for their own advantage in how much mammon they can pile up, in how much power they can grab, in how much respect they can garner. No, those things are not at play anymore. They're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And their life looks different than the life of the world because they are on the pilgrim path, a stranger in a foreign land, a pilgrim on their way to heaven. So that's out of love of God. And it's a humble life now, humbling their own self-will to the will of God. The third kind of humility is when poverty or sickness or persecution falls on that person unbidden, and they receive it gladly. And they are willing to endure that for the sake of Christ. This is not something that they initiate, but it's something that comes to them. So why don't they initiate it? Well, the early church figured out pretty early that it wasn't authentic martyrdom for someone to provoke their martyrdom. So in our time of persecution, if a person ran out and said, well, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, arrest me, and you know, God sent somebody to kill them, that's not martyrdom. It wasn't authentic to self-initiate that kind of punishment. It also invited the other person into sin. It was egging somebody on to do sinful things. So, no, this is unbidden. This is when it comes. And when it comes, then we receive it. And it is to be received with a sense of joy, interior joy, not with gladness and happiness, because a lot of these things are not happy, but a sense of joy that these things are being endured for the Lord's sake and for the kingdom. An example would be St. Peter, who writes the epistle when he is with John and they are arrested by the Sanhedrin and brought before the council, and they are told to deny Christ and they will not. So the Sanhedrin decides to have them scourged and released. And they go home rejoicing that they have been chosen to suffer for the name of Christ. Okay, that's the level of the saints now we're talking. But if you look at every saint's life, you'll see that they have endured some kind of suffering in the world that spoke of what? Of their close association with Jesus, their identification with him, and their participation in the sufferings that Christ endured for our salvation. They also suffer in a similar way. They suffer the indignity of the rebuke. They suffer the sadness of exclusion. They suffer the the scornful reproof of the wealthy and the despitefulness of the proud, and they are suffering for the name of Christ. This is thankworthy, St. Peter says, if they endure that for Christ's sake. Now, whenever that kind of thing has come to me, it's come in very small amounts, and I'm usually pretty mixed up about it. We had once the good work of starting a school, and it was there was a big rejection by this community. That was about 10, 12 years ago. And there were articles in the newspaper that were defamatory and harsh against me and my, reputational harm. That kind of, we had a picket protest at the parking lot. No more traffic, no more noise. A lot of those same people would champion Walmart a couple of years later, but that's another story, for no more traffic. But anyway, in that time, I remember coming to church, and one of the elders of the church, who was an attorney and had the gift of, the tongue that can cut, he said to me, "Father Dart, I read those articles in the paper that mention your name. Not very kind, are they?" I said, no, they're not very kind. He said, "Well, I'm sure there's a lot you could say against that." "Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. And you could probably write a letter back to the editor of that newspaper, and you could defend yourself, and you could say all kinds of things that are correct about the situation, and even get a couple jabs yourself, couldn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I could do that." And he said, "And you're not going to do that, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not going to do that." So that was a gift to me. Yeah. I don't need to, when somebody reviles against you, you don't need to revile them. There's no tit for tat here. There is the patient, the willingness to endure patiently as Christ suffered. So we follow him as our example. And his humility now becomes our humility. And the beauty of this kind of suffering is that we don't do it alone. Jesus Christ is with us and in us at the same time that we endure these things for his sake. If that third kind of humility comes to us, we can receive it gladly, and it can even be joyful because the Lord is there with us. It's a beautiful account of the martyr Felicitas, who died, I think, in the Diocletian persecution in the 3rd century. And she was jailed, a pregnant mother who gave birth to her child in the jail while she was awaiting public execution for her Christian profession. And she cried out in the cell from the labor pains, and the jailer tormented her by saying, "Oh, look how weak you are. Ha, you think you're crying now? Wait till you face the lions." And she said to him, "What I suffer is natural now, but when I suffer then, there will be one in me, suffering with me." Charles Williams says that she sums up the doctrine of the co-inheritance in one phrase and takes her place among the doctors of the church. Christ is our good shepherd. He is with us in this experience. So if it comes to us, we go there with him. And he, like a good shepherd, will show us the way, strengthen us in the crucible of that moment, and sanctify us to give God the glory. So may God strengthen us. May we indeed receive with gladness that which he has won for us upon the cross, his inestimable benefit. And may we also gladly follow him in the path of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.